Just behave yourselves and act like men.
Now you start using your head. That's not love. That's 3 feet above your ass.
People will come, Ray.
All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
We don't stink right now.
You play ball like a girl!
You're out of here!
There's no crying in baseball!
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
This is West Coast Bias.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
We are back. It is almost the... What is the All-Star break?
It is the All-Star break. Monday, the 16th of July. As of this recording, the All-Star game is tomorrow. We have the lineups in. Welcome, I am Samuel Paul.
I am Adam Nelson.
This is West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast.
Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Facebook at West Coast Bias Baseball. And, look forward to hearing from you.
Podomatic website, you know the drill. Let's get going. I mean, so we got the Home Run Derby starting in a mere minutes here.
We do, but I have a very important question to ask you, Adam, before we actually get into the All-Star game.
Really?
How in the hell did Mike Matheny get fired before Buck Showalter?
Well, because Buck Showalter has experience, all right? Mike Matheny, well, he has experience now, but he did not have any experience when he first started.
Buck Showalter seems to have totally lost that clubhouse. They were a decent team last year.
I think it's the front office that has totally lost that clubhouse. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. But Matheny, do you really want to get into it? Because Matheny, and I was very surprised. I'm not going to lie. But then when I was reading more about it and reading more about the sort of legend or lack thereof of Matheny in that clubhouse, it makes perfect sense, actually. It's pretty crazy, man. I was very surprised. This happened, Saturday night? Late Saturday night, a very bad loss against the Reds for 2 days in a row, right? They just got beat the last two games in a row. The second straight day at home against the Reds, getting outscored 17-3 in two games. It was also their sixth straight home loss and 10th in their last 13 games at Busch Stadium, ultimately being outscored 44-14 in a six-game raping by visiting teams. I mean, but that wasn't the only reason. So, okay, a little history, I guess, right? So, Matheny, he was hired right after, of course, the great Tony La Russa.
Right.
That's kind of a hard job. Those are some big shoes to fill.
They are.
Tony La Russa won 1,408 games, three pennants, two World Series. It's tough, you know.
In two different leagues.
And even though Matheny had no managerial experience in two different leagues. Yeah. He was chosen for the job over Terry Francona, who a lot of us forget was interviewed for that job. Was that back in 2012, 11? When did he take over? I should know that. But Matheny was a badass. I remember when he came up, I mean, he was only 41 at the time. He was young, and so that was like a big...
Right.
And thing. That was supposed to help. That was supposed to be one of the biggest advantages.
His career was cut short from concussions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was that famous game where he got hit in the face. And his entire face was bleeding. He stayed in the game and caught the rest of the game. I mean, those things made you kind of excited to see him coaching this very young staff when he came on. It made a lot of sense at the time, I think, when they brought him on. But, he has not been – he's been pretty bad, actually.
His first year as full-time manager, he did have the best record in baseball. And slowly, over the last few years, the total record has diminished. But he's – really, the Cardinals are – 500 in a tough division this year.
It's true. But I think it seems like they're making it seem like it was actually like a long time coming.
All right.
You know, the Cardinals used to have one of the most dominant home field advantages in all of baseball, you know. But for many years, that's pretty much been gone. The team is only one game over 500 at Busch Stadium since the start of 2016. The Cardinals' home winning percentage over that time is tied for 21st in the majors. I mean, it's pretty bad. By the time he was fired, the Cardinals, they're 47-46. They're still one game over 500. It's not like they're the Orioles or, I guess, the White Sox. But they're closer to last place than first place in that division, though. So, you know, they were 27-34 since May 7th. They had won only 5 of their last 20 series. That's pretty bad. But it was mainly that he was alienating a lot of the younger guys. And I guess, you know, he has like a really old school mentality where you kind of have to say what he wants to hear and, you know, get into like his better side before you can actually talk to the guy. It seemed like he was ignoring a lot of the younger players. He was sort of infamous, not really famous for, you know, losing or for acquiring guys that were doing well on other teams and then they started doing bad. I'm thinking about Ozuna, right? Brett Cecil, Fowler. I mean, they all left and they all played a lot better where they came from. And, you know, with a season opening starting field with Ozuna, Tommy Pham, and Fowler, they were projected among the best in baseball in terms of outfield.
Right. It's surprising that the Cardinals are doing so relatively poorly at this point.
Yeah. They have a collective WAR of 2, which is 12th in the NL. And so, again, I mean, he's had a lot of chances. You know, it's not like, and this goes under my radar because I don't really think about the Central at all. But, especially St. Louis. This is in 2008, right? I don't really think about them anymore like that. And I guess that's a testament to,
right,
his sort of inabilities, maybe, you know, and the fact that, yeah, he's, I guess he makes a lot of the younger players uncomfortable, which is, again, a huge reason why they got him. He was supposed to be relatable. I don't know.
Because he was such a young manager himself.
Yeah. And so he seems more out of touch. But, you know, I like that. I like that kind of old school mentality. But now you can't really do that nowadays. It seems like guys are a lot more temperamental.
Sensitive.
There's sensitivity training seminars and all. I don't know.
It's a different world.
It's a different world. So it's going to be Mike Schilt who's going to take over, bench coach. He's now temporarily acting manager. Yeah, but I'm assuming probably for the rest of the season, unless they make the postseason, which it doesn't look like they're going to. But
right,
I don't know.
But then the question then becomes who's going to take over next year?
Right. I'm looking at and I'm thinking about Joe Girardi.
Yeah, Joe Girardi is a name that I've heard.
Is it his to lose? Is it his? Is he going to be the front runner probably?
Oh, well, at this point, I would say yes. That's the only name that I've heard in connection. But we'll see. I'm sure that
some other coaches within the system will probably be looked at as well. I'm sure.
I'm sure, and there will also. I'm sure there will. This is only the first and probably a number of managerial firings to come by the end of and at the end of this year.
So you think Buck Showalter is doing a worse job than Mike Matheny? I mean, based on the record, sure.
Based on the record,
sure.
But that's
not a good team, though.
But it was
a tough division.
It wasn't a bad team last year, and they had a good looking lineup going into this year. What happened to the Orioles?
Their bullpen, for one. I mean, they don't really have one. If Brad Brock's your best guy, and I mean, trust me, he was on my fantasy team for a while. He was really good last year, but he also had. He had the strength of, you know, other guys around him that were some of the best in the game.
And also, one of their best hitters last year is now having a historically bad season this year. I'm looking at you, Chris Davis, with a C.
Well, come on, Chris Davis with a C. I mean, he wasn't one of their best hitters last year, was he?
He had a great year last year.
Was it that good?
He had a career year last year.
Really?
And this year is just so dramatically fallen off.
Well, again, it seems like a common theme for Chris Davis with a C. He's going to get at least 30 home runs, but he's also going to hit just above the Mendoza line, if not below it. Oh, I'm looking at you, Bryce Harper, all-star.
on a walk here.
Yeah, exactly. One more thing about Matheny, though, and I didn't realize this, but the chronic base running mishaps and the fact that the Cardinals were charged with 56 errors in 61 games. Opponents were only charged with 30. You know, they 77 errors this year, and most in MLB. 8 more than any NL team, and 16 more than any of their rivals in the Central. Again, I don't know. He likes to start veterans over younger talent. He doesn't, you know, the younger talent has to prove to him, essentially. And right. Again, this has been the way baseball has been done for years, decades, century even, really. But now, it's guys like more of like a Joe Maddon approach, you know, more of like a Dave Roberts approach, where you're sort of like friends, not friends, but the team seems happy, right? It's not, it's less fear me and more we're going to do this together kind of thing, right?
Right.
I don't know. That's what it seems like. It seems like Joe Maddon is one of the most popular managers in the game. Seems like Dave Roberts is as well. And I think both of those guys sort of embody, I mean,
they've also been very successful over the last few years too.
Which, right, that helps.
Which
that,
definitely yeah. goes yeah, a long helps. Way.
That does help. But you know, Mattingly was successful with the Dodgers. I mean, not long into the postseason, but he still won the division 3 years in a row. But he wasn't as popular. And I always loved Mattingly, honestly, because I thought Mattingly was like one of the best players of his generation. Just a hardcore. Wow.
Donnie
Joe,
Baseball,
you know,
definitely
Donnie
was
baseball.
One
I mean,
of the
yeah.
best players of his generation.
Never
There's
won
no
a World Series,
about.
And it's brutal. But, you know, he's... I figured he would be that guy. I figured he would... And he's still doing a great... I mean, he's got a terrible team, but, you know, the Marlins. But he still seems pretty popular. He
and,
still seems...
And they, like, and they are and they are winning some games lately. They've come on. They've won a few games against the Brewers.
That's... And, yeah. Yeah, hey, you know. Anyway,
they're certainly not as bad as everyone expected them to be at the beginning of the season, and certainly not the worst team in baseball this year.
No, but this is also a year that's turning into like the NBA. You know, this year
it seems like it. I think
kind of.
It is. It's not as dramatic as the NBA, where there's legitimately only like one or two teams right. that really have a shot at the title. We're going to have some interesting races, especially in the National League. But, you know, the Yankees, Red Sox are still very tight in their division. Very, very close records as they go down the stretch. Both winning a lot of games and playing some very good baseball.
They are.
And we'll have what looks to be like a pretty heated wild card race in the American League this year, too.
The Yankees are on pace to hit more home runs in a season, 275, than any team ever. And Giancarlo Stanton hasn't really even gotten locked in yet, you know, and that's kind of scary when you think about that. The record is 264. The Junior Griffey, the 97 Mariners, of course. That team, the 97 Mariners, had 6 players with 20 or more home runs.
That's insane.
It's pretty damn good. The Dodgers right now, I believe, have 6 or 7 guys, maybe 8, 7 guys, I think, with over 10. That's pretty damn good. So potentially the Dodgers could do it, too. I don't know. We'll see. Dodgers did break their own franchise record for the month of June, 52 home runs. But the Yankees could have 6 dudes that hit 30-plus this year. That's insane. Will it happen? I don't know. Probably not. But
it's something to watch this year going down the stretch.
Yeah. And the Red Sox have a shot at the winningest season in the history of their franchise and the greatest run differential in the history of their franchise as well. Both records are held by the 1912 Red Sox, with Tris Speaker and that insane team. They won 105 games in a plus 255 differential.
Wow.
And this is this team's on pace to challenge both of those. So we'll see. Yeah, Dodgers 105 last year, right? 105, 104, I don't know. But the Red Sox are, you know, historically not as good as the Dodgers. But anyway, sorry. The Astros, meanwhile, are just blowing teams away. They have a plus 172 run differential, which is the largest. In the last 75 years, we've seen on the 4th of July. That's pretty crazy. Only the 98 Yankees had a plus 155 or even within 20 of them. And if the Astros keep it up, they're heading for the biggest plus minus by any team since Red Rolfe's legendary 1939 Yankees. Put up a staggering plus 411. That doesn't even make sense. That's
so we're talking
insane.
About some historically good baseball.
Yeah.
That is happening still in this the last couple of years. We've seen some really good teams.
There's never been a league ever with three 100-win teams. Could we see that this year?
It certainly looks like we're on pace to see that. Unless something dramatic happens and one of these teams inexplicably falls off, or there's a catastrophic injury, and you know
that's true.
You know, it's a long season. They call it a marathon for a reason. We are just over the halfway mark in terms of numbers of games, and we are at the halfway mark in terms of the calendar and the traditional All-Star break.
Then now this brings me to something that has been that I've been thinking about a little bit, and it doesn't really affect me as a fan. I mean, as a fan of baseball, it does. I'm not an American League, really an American League fan, and the A's, I'm rooting for the A's. But if things were to hold, or relatively speaking, right now, and there were three 100-win teams, two of those teams would most likely be in the NL East, or the AL East, excuse me, meaning that one of those teams would have a nice little not-so-fun date with James Paxton when the Mariners probably going to win the wild card, although, again, go A's.
Well, yeah, the A's.
With nothing riding on it except for an incredible 100-win season, that's all. And the Mariners aren't going to win 100 games.
Mariners probably aren't going to win 100 games. The A's probably aren't going to win 100 games.
Right. And so so either one of those
but
teams
they can
is going
both
to have,
potentially yeah. have a 90 plus win season
yeah.
and be on the outside looking in.
Well, right, but my main concern is that there's going to be a team with 89, 90 wins going on a one game series. You can't even call it a series, just a one game playoff for the wild card spot against the Yankees or the Red Sox, who are having historic years. Now, should the entire season, should a 106 game winning season be determined by one game against a team that won 15 fewer games?
Well, that's why you win. You need to win your division.
Yeah. See, but I don't know about that. See, that's a little, that's crazy because look at the AL Central. I mean, that's the most garbage division we've seen in quite some time. So they don't have to face them. Should it be the team with the worst record? To make it at least a little bit more interesting and less sad. I mean, that's just terrible, man. Can you imagine winning 105 games and then just lose? Because baseball isn't one game doesn't determine the best team. It doesn't. So if it's like a team that wins 89, a team that wins 88 or 92, okay, fine. Let's just win one game. But I mean, over five or seven games, let's say. Shouldn't we or will we see a rule change in the future after the season if that indeed happens?
I honestly do not think that they will change that rule. I understand where you're coming from. I mean, at this point, it is very likely that both the Mariners and the A's will end with a better record than the winner of the AL Central. And Yankees and Red Sox battling out with 100 plus wins this season make things very interesting. But, you know, the distribution of wealth is sometimes funny that way. Sometimes you're lucky.
But do we have to accept it?
This year?
They changed the rule seven years ago anyway to have the stupid wild card game, right?
Right. To let a team that has a good record who didn't win their division have a shot of playing in the postseason.
Right. And so, but my main thing is if the discrepancy between the records is that drastic, what's the number for you where you would think that it would be worth changing? 10 games? Is 7 games not enough? To where, So my, and this isn't just my example. I mean, this idea has been floated out for a little while now. And it wasn't really until this year that we might need to actually consider it. And probably in the next couple of years to come, if these teams stay the same and if if the Yankees get that Machado sweepstakes. We'll see. Anyway, if a team gets second place in their division and is still over 5 games over the wild card team, or 7 games. What about 7 games? Is that not enough? Then, okay, let's just say 7 games. Then the team that has seven fewer wins has to beat the other team twice. All right, let's do that. Or that team, let's say the Yankees and the Mariners. The Mariners have to beat the Yankees 2 games in a row. The Yankees only have to beat them once. If they beat them once, it's over. But the Mariners have to beat them twice. How about that? Is that not fair? Is that crazy? Silence. Just lost in thought.
It's an interesting question. It really is. I think, though, that...
Or what would it take? Like what? Or how about a 3-game series?
Well, a 3-game series and best 2 out of 3.
Yeah,
I would go for that. But what if it, you know, what if it wasn't so dramatic? I mean, what if we're talking about 3 clear division winners? Mm-hmm. And let's say we have one 90-win team, and the team with the next best record, who is not in first place, is say 85. We have a 92-game winner and an 85. Is that still, you still want to have this 3-game series, even though one is not necessarily it's still got the same win differential, but maybe one is in an easier division than the other?
And yeah, but nowadays teams are playing everybody. If it was back in the day where American League only played American League and they mainly only played their division, maybe. But everybody's playing everybody. Everybody's got like an equal chance. I don't know. Again, 7 games. I think 7 games is
and
fair. Five might be.
It's also not unprecedented that a team would win over 100 sure. games and not make the postseason.
Sure.
You know, at least in this scenario, the Yankees or the Red Sox, whoever it is who doesn't finish in first place, will still make the postseason, even if it is for that one game. And if they're that much better than the other wild card team, they shouldn't have to worry about winning that one game. They should be able to win that one game.
Well, yeah, but this is baseball, you know. Come on, anything can happen.
Anything could happen.
And historically, the 1-game playoff has matched teams with fairly similar records, although 2012 saw the 88-win Cardinals beat the 94-win Braves. Okay, all right. Okay, so maybe, all right, how about if it's 100 games then? Should that be, or is there any number for you where you would see a contingent rule, a rule only if, right? The rule isn't going to be in place most years, but sometimes if it's that big, like again, like 105-game winners going up against 91-game Mariners, and Paxton is better than or as good as any pitcher on the Yankees, maybe Severino. But who knows? Who knows who's going to be ready to play? I don't know. You know, should the Mariners be able to? Yeah, I guess. I mean, based on the rules now, sure. But the Mariners wouldn't have even had the chance 10 years ago. They wouldn't have even been considered. So either we had abandoned that, which, again, I'm not the biggest fan for. But apparently, you know, obviously you as a Giants fan are. Because,
right.
You benefited from that.
I'm thinking about 93 also, though. In 1993, Giants won 103 games. Did not make the postseason.
Mm-hmm. But that wouldn't happen now. Now they would, right?
Now they would, but...
But they would have to earn it with one game.
They would have to earn it with one
and
game.
And then imagine if you got beat by the... Who else is in 93? I don't know. Imagine if you got beat by a 91-win Dodger team that year for the postseason, and you won 103 games.
Well, that kind of happened.
Well...
It wasn't directly, but that last game of the season that they needed to win was against
right.
the Dodgers.
That's right.
They failed to win and did not make the postseason.
Right. And do you feel good about that? See, one game.
Feel good?
Anybody
I don't know.
Win.
That was a great team. With Will Clark, Barry Bonds, mm-hmm. Matt Williams.
Yeah.
It was
brutal.
It was. But the Braves, you know, they won 103 as well. And what would have made a difference? If the Rockies would have won just one game that year against the Braves.
Sweat.
The upstart Rockies, their first year.
Should have beat them at least once.
At least once. And it would have made a big difference for the
you
Giants.
See,
and so anything
scar,
can happen.
That scar
one
still
game
has not
make
healed.
A difference.
That scar has
no,
still not
has.
Healed.
There's three,
well,
way,
winning three World
wins.
Series, right.
That heals a lot of wounds.
But after 0-2, I'm but, sure you were really thinking about that one. Yeah. I don't know. People are thinking, okay, yeah, win your division. Well, it's not always that easy if you're in a perennially incredible division, or if you're in a always horrible division like the AL Central. I don't know. Then some people are thinking, oh well, there's too much time off. Then the guys are waiting around too long. I don't think so. I think the guys don't mind the extra rest. Plus, there are a lot of ways to cut the length of the schedule. Like, how about everybody starts on the same damn day? How about opening day is all the teams? How about the All-Star break isn't again a whole week? How about that? How about teams start playing on Friday? Why do they have to start playing on Saturday? Let's go. Start playing again, Okay? So that way the postseason we can have a not perfect, but at least ideal scenario.
We also bring back the doubleheader. The scheduled doubleheader.
Yeah.
Play two on Sunday. Say,
yeah.
Ernie Banks, it's a great play. It's a great day to play two, huh?
That's right. Now, that actually brings me to, is this, or no, I'm not even asking. It is. It is the end of the four times through the lineup era, right? Can we just all,
Yeah, may even be close to the end of three times through the lineup.
Well, yeah. How many games do you think there have been so far this season in which starting pitchers saw their way through the lineup four times, meaning they faced at least 36 players?
I'm sure I could count them on one hand.
Well, you could, because the answer is zero. None.
Oh, there you go.
And if that keeps up, this would be the first season ever in which not a single starter made it through the opposing order four times.
Sure, but there have been complete games, but
games,
you only go through the order basically three times, maybe three and a half.
Yeah. So the closest anyone has come was 34 hitters by Clayton Richard of the Padres just last Friday in Texas. As recently as the 2000 season, though, there have been 55 pitchers made it through the lineup four times. That number has been just declining, plummeting, and has shrunk to six or fewer in each of the last six seasons. So, and here we go. Here's a little, I know you, because you were just talking about him earlier. Who was the last big league starter to pull this off?
The last big league starter to...
I'll give you a hint. It was last August 4th against the Twins, which was about 4,000 games ago. In a 106 pitch complete game for the Twins. Just last year. Yeah, just last August.
I was just talking about him earlier.
Yeah, you were. A little bit. Well, we're always kind of just talking about. I'll give you a hint.
Oh. Big Sexy.
Yeah.
Bartolo Colon.
There you go. I didn't even have to say anything. 44-year-old strike-throwing machine Bartolo Colon. That's right. He was the last one to do it, and that was last year. So, potentially we maybe will. But, yeah, that's all gone now for the most part. It is kind of strange. I don't know. It's just sort of going to what you were just talking about. But, I don't know. Are guys being babied, or
I don't know that it's necessarily babied is the right word. Maybe coddled a little bit. I think. Well, semantics is the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think that because of the just insane prices that are put on these arms.
Oh, yeah.
That there is a lot of concern to keep the arms healthy. And so they don't want to overuse them, overwork them. Whether or not this will pay off in the long run remains to be seen.
I guess it must be, because they wouldn't keep doing it otherwise, right?
Yeah.
Or it's just a constant learning curve, and copying everybody else. Maybe who knows?
Even amid this, we have a team like the Angels, who in the last 2-3 years have had 8 Tommy John surgeries.
That's brutal.
8, And the supposedly this limited pitch count, this 100 pitches, and that's about it.
That's an arbitrary number. Yeah, I mean
it's an arbitrary ballpark number.
I guess.
But what's happening? The pitchers are still blowing out their elbows. Pitchers are still blowing out their shoulders. There's less rotator cuff injuries, maybe, but because they know that they're going to be throwing less pitches in a given day, are they throwing harder?
Right.
And therefore,
no, they are.
Putting undue stress on their elbow.
Yes, they are. That's actually, I'm pretty sure that's been documented.
So this is an unintended consequence.
Right.
Because
exactly.
You're going to limit their pitch count.
Right.
They're going to throw harder because I know they're going to come out of the game early anyway.
100%.
So if you take away the pitch count, they're going to throw more conservatively, last longer, maybe see less injuries. What's worth it for your $10 million a year, $15 million a year? It's insane what these guys make, and the amount of the investment, I think, has a lot to do with the way that pitchers and players in general are being handled in terms of rest, in terms of pitch counts, in terms of just the way that they're managed on the field.
Bartolo threw a complete game last weekend.
He's
45 years old.
Yeah. Dude's a freak of nature. And it's possible that since he has done some PEDs in the past, that he still may.
If anything, that might even be worse, though. It's going to deplete your bone structure if you don't keep using it. Or maybe he's found like a good version that goes under the radar. But over the last 70 years, the only right-handed non-knuckleballer as old as Bardo to throw a complete game are Nolan Ryan.
Freak of nature.
Somebody who always makes it onto this podcast. He always figures out a way to get onto here. Bobo Newsom, which is a sweet name, 1953. And Satchel Paige, the late great. Possibly the greatest pitcher of all time.
We'll never know. Probably a freak of nature. I mean, these...
Oh, most definitely. He didn't even know how old he was. He didn't even know. That's pretty amazing. There's that Larry Page. Is it Larry Page? That book. It's a great book. Larry Ty? Is that his name? Not Larry Page. Anyway.
Satchel Paige. Author's a different last name.
Larry Ty, sorry.
Larry Ty.
I had to like turn around. This apartment's getting really hot now. It's getting really hot. We got to close the windows. It is summer. Woo! We're heating up. And, okay, how about DeGrom? I mean, can he... He's heating up. He's been heating up all year, and he's been
doing great.
Shafted.
Absolutely.
Shafted.
Well, you know, it's what happens when you're on the amazing Mets sometimes.
On Wednesday...
On
Wednesday, for the 10th time this season, DeGrom gave up one earned run or fewer, so one earned run or none, in a start of 70 innings or more. Of those 10 starts... He won exactly 3 of them. I mean, that's just brutal. That was pretty much like how Kershaw was with the Dodgers. Kershaw would throw a jam, Dodgers wouldn't even put up one run, right? But it's actually worse with DeGrom. The Mets are 3-7. 3-7 when their best pitcher allows one run or none.
That was the story of Matt Cain's career.
This bad. This is unprecedentedly bad. In fact, the Elias Sports Bureau checked back all the way to 1893, the year the mound was set to 60 feet 6 inches. Okay, we're going back. They found that no pitcher in the last 126 seasons has been through more games like that in any of those seasons, meaning no pitcher's team has ever lost more than 7 starts in which he gave up no more than one run. There are others who are tied with DeGrom at 7, but he still has half a season to go, all right? Can you imagine that? I mean,
that's
insane.
So, because we have the trade deadline looming here, DeGrom's name has come up.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to finish the year with the Mets?
That's a good question.
Who's going to take him? I know there's a lot of teams out there that want a pitcher like DeGrom. Including across the river there in New York.
Well, you see, and that's something that I don't ever think. Well, see, and that's why everybody's talking about Machado to the Yankees, and I think we touched on this earlier last week, but you rarely ever see inter-division trades. But inter-league trades in the same city, maybe. I don't know. do you, can you really, I mean, the Yankees could really use DeGrom, that's for sure.
Well, I'm sure they'd really like DeGrom.
Well, yeah. I think, but I mean, I think any team would.
And any team also would like a player like Machado. But I think Machado is much less likely to go to the Yankees than.
I know. Why everybody keeps talking about Machado and the Yankees. Orioles aren't going to do that, right? They would rather sit on their own thumbs.
They're not going to give them to the Yankees.
I can't see that. I mean, I remember when Kemp went to the Padres. That was like unprecedented. That was crazy.
Right.
But, Kemp's not Machado. He is now. He is this year. Just like he was in 2011. MVP, by the way. Fuck you, Ryan Braun. Sorry, I know this is a family show. But Machado, there's a lot of interesting questions. Because this is obviously the day before the All-Star break or the All-Star game. And for all I know, today is the All-Star game. I don't know when you're listening to this. Who knows? But if Machado gets traded at some point today the game.
The speculation is he will be traded and on a new team before the end of the break.
Before Saturday, yeah. Well, because and this is something weird because if you get traded before the All-Star game and you get traded to a different league, right? Like Machado might get traded to the National League. I mean, everybody still keeps talking about the Dodgers. Again, if we don't have to lose anything for him, if it's like one of the Darvish deal last year, sure. Like let's take him for a rental. Let's get him through the postseason. Might as well until Seager gets back. If that's the case, how does Machado play? And he wants to play. He said he's going to play. So it's an interesting scenario there. You know, a similar question arose in 2014 when Samardzija was named to the NL All-Star team after the Cubs traded him to the Oakland A's. So, you know, the game back then had a competitive stake. I mean, you know, home field advantage was on the line. And so Samardzija was deemed ineligible to play, and he wore the NL jersey with a generic cap or whatever. But Machado's situation is different because if a trade occurs, it would be unprecedented. So the Brewers also, obviously, and the Dodgers. The Brewers, I think, are the most serious for Machado. But anyway, now, obviously, the home field advantage isn't on the line. But the teams do divide a $640,000 bonus, okay? So it's about $20,000 per player among 32 members. But they would have to presumably throw in an extra 20, right, for Machado as an NL player. If Machado hit, you know, like a game-winning home run for the NL, then he'd be costing the AL team money, creating something of a, you know, awkward situation. So what would
perhaps
they,
well, yeah. he wouldn't get doubly paid.
Well, no, he wouldn't. Well, obviously not, because only the winning team would get it. But would he get paid zero because he got those stats as an American leaguer, even though he won the game as a National leaguer, you know? Or would they have to figure out a way to take money from everybody else to give to him to make it the extra 33rd man? I don't know. See, that's kind of weird. Like, how would that work? Or would they just, I mean, Rob Manfred could make up a new rule, like, right on the spot. Again, this is all if this happens within the next
48 hours.
24
hours.
27 hours, yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. I don't think it will. And it's also like a slap in the face to Orioles fans. I mean, that's pretty bad.
Right at the thing. Yeah. It also could be that they've already traded him and they're going to wait until after the All-Star game to announce it.
If that's true, it has to be. That's public, right? I mean, some baseball writer would have written about that by now.
I don't know.
It would have been leaked. And again, okay, so if you're a National League team that acquired him and he's playing for American League, you would not be happy about that. What if he gets hurt? You know? And I mean, money aside, what if he gets hurt? You don't want him playing for that team. You want to have control over him. So maybe you'll start him. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll bring him in at the seventh. Or maybe you just won't play him at all. I mean, you know, it's Dave Roberts coaching, so it's not like it's Craig Counsell, but still.
Well, as of right now, he's not in the starting lineup for the American League.
He's not?
He is not. Not at the list that I'm looking at.
He's the... Oh, you're right. We got... Manny Machado. He is.
Manny Machado? Oh, there he is. Shortstop.
American League. Yeah, shortstop, not third. Yeah, because, of course, Jose Ramirez is just crushing it right now. Let's see. We got right field Mookie, second base Altuve, Trout, JD, Ramirez, Judge, Machado, Abreu, Perez. Jesus.
And Chris Sale as the starting pitcher.
Jesus Christ. Now, that was going to be our trivia question, but you actually have a better one. So, if Chris Sale starts tomorrow, which it looks like he's going to be, it would be the third year in a row that he's done that. There are only two pitchers in history to accomplish this feat. The only other pitchers to start in All-Star Games 3 years in a row, Robin Roberts, 53-55, and Lefty Gomez, 33-35. The first three All-Star Games ever, by the way. So Chris Sale's
impressive.
It's pretty rare. And if Scherzer starts tomorrow, which it looks like he's going to.
That'll be his second consecutive start.
It would be, but he would be the first reigning Cy Young ever to start an All-Star game in his home park. Now, that's a very, you know, very specific
stat.
But, you know, I don't know if we'll ever see that again. We'll see. Who determines the All-Star game location? How does that get?
The location?
Yeah.
Because we know three years
in advance, right?
Major League Baseball does selection.
Right.
They alternate between National League and American League parks every year.
Not always.
There has been a couple of exceptions.
But they still play in American League with National League rules, if that were the case. Because that did happen a couple times where it was two years in a row. But now they're just doing DH for everybody, always, no matter what.
And it comes down to what you believe, ultimately,
right,
about the DH. But
it does matter what you believe. And who's the most famous person with beliefs? I think that would have to be
Crash Davis.
The cock, the pussy, the small of a woman's back, the hanging curveball, high fiber, good scotch, that the novels of Susan Sontag are self-indulgent, overrated crap. I believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I believe there ought to be a constitutional amendment outlawing AstroTurf and the designated hitter.
That's right. Tell him, Crash. Right?
That's right.
There should
absolutely
be.
Right.
And you know what? I would vote for that man. I don't care how right-wing, crazy, insane Nazi. Well, okay, nah, that's going a little far. But if he promised to outlaw the DH in baseball, you know, I'd have to give it a second thought. I think I would have to really weigh my options there, because that is something that I can get behind. And it's 100% true. I mean, come on, that's just ridiculous. We do need to get rid of that. And it should at least, in this, like you were saying earlier, this is a National League park. They're playing in Washington, and they have a DH. Why?
Well,
they're all a bunch of commies? Yeah, they're all a bunch of
commies. Yeah, a bunch of commies, perhaps. I mean, it does give everyone more at-bats. It doesn't put the pitcher in danger, and of course, I used air quotes, about hurting themselves on a swing. I mean, these guys have been playing baseball since they were eight. You can't tell me that they don't know how to swing a bat properly without hurting themselves.
The best pitchers in high school were always the best hitters.
Always.
Is that good? Go to any school in America.
And the best
athlete, essentially, on the team, yes.
Right, and that starts in Little League. The best pitcher is always the best hitter.
Yeah.
It's always the best overall player.
Pitchers want to hit. Kershaw, Bumgarner, Greinke, they all like it. They really like it.
And those guys you just mentioned, those aren't just pitchers. Those are ball players.
Oh, those are elite pitchers.
Those are ball players.
All won
Cy
Young. Has Bumgarner won a Cy Young?
Bumgarner has not won a Cy Young yet.
But, okay, so I guess the only silver lining is that we do get to see Paul Goldschmidt start, because he definitely would not have started over Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman is just hating the cover off the ball. Probably literally.
I say that because Paul Goldschmidt has been named the starting designated hitter for the National League.
Right. But I'm sure Scherzer wants to hit, though. Scherzer's pissed. Scherzer's a great hitter.
And he's a damn competitor.
He's a
ball player. He is now a National League pitcher. He hasn't always been. But yeah, he wouldn't shy away from a shot at hitting off of Chris Sale. Why not?
Somebody look this up, because I'm wondering if who has a better batting average, Max Scherzer or Bryce Harper, right now. I mean, it's probably
pretty close. Bryce Harper has so many more at bats.
Well, okay, yeah, but Bryce Harper is also supposedly the $300 million man, and I mean, come on,
$400
Right, exactly.
While you're looking that up, Paul Goldschmidt hitting designated hitter in the three spot behind Javier Baez,
right.
Nolan Arenado, Goldschmidt, Freddie Freeman playing first base, Matt Kemp, the revival starting in
2011 left Kemp, field. Baby, all day. Kemp is just killing it.
Bryce Harper in center field. Nick Markakis of the Braves, Brendan Crawford at shortstop, Wilson Contreras behind the plate catching Max Scherzer as the starting pitcher.
All right, I'm going to teach you for once and for all how to say Scherzer. Right?
Scherzer?
Scherzer. There you go. You got it. And by the way, yes, indeed, Max Scherzer has a better batting average than Bryce Harper this season.
Unbelievable.
Harper got over the Mendoza line. There you go. Hey, good job, Harper. Already. Harper's hitting 214. Because we were talking about he was hitting under 200, which is not the Mendoza line. I believe the Mendoza line's 206.
I thought it was 150.
No, it's over 2. Okay. But we generally just think of it as 2 now. There was actually a really good article written about this in The Athletic last week. But I believe it's 206. Anyway, or it might even be 214. But anyway, if either way, he's just at or just above the Mendoza line. What do you think? Okay, so he's hitting 214. Scherzer? What's he hitting? He's hitting 256. How about that?
256? How many at-bats is that, though?
That would be 43.
43 hey, at-bats?
It's not bad.
Okay.
It's not bad. You know, anyway, just say.
A swing and a stick? And
Scherzer, you know, he usually comes up big in big situations. He already has 4 ribbies this year. And, okay, how about this? Scherzer has only struck out 7 times. How about that? That's pretty good. And now you had a very, very crazy...
A little bit of a dubious...
Ignoble Award. How about that?
I like it. I like the effect.
Yeah.
Yes. last week, the 8th of July, Aaron Judge passed a milestone of a dubious nature. He has now struck out as many times as Joe DiMaggio.
Wait. In his career?
In his career.
Okay. Okay. You're talking about Judge in a year and a half. A season and a half has struck out more times than Joe DiMaggio did
in his entire career.
Really?
Yes.
That is disturbing.
It is a little bit.
That is this week's Ignoble Award of the Week. That's pretty bad. That's really bad. And so, okay, so he, and I would say he was probably the only, and it's not like he's a dark spot on that lineup, but... I mean, maybe him and Sal Perez are the two weakest links on that lineup. I would bat Abreu in front of Judge if I was managing. But, hey, what are you going to do? Yeah, Machado is hitting behind Judge. That's pretty crazy. I honestly, I'd put Judge batting 9th or 8th. You know, I'd put him right behind the catcher. Or right in front, I should say. I will admit, the American League lineup does look better than the National League lineup. But you know what? Not really, though. I mean...
National League lineup does not look too bad.
I just don't like Javi Baez. I don't really have a lot of faith in that guy, but I know he's actually doing pretty well. Same thing with Brandon Crawford. I know Crawford is really good with the glove. I know he's hitting pretty good average this year, right? That's not bad. They haven't hit an 8th. And again, Markakis. I mean, like, a lot of these names aren't like huge names that are like really popping out, but overall,
solid players.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right. I think it's going to be pretty good. It's interesting. I don't know. Again, this is the American League are in sort of the middle of their win streak. You know, it goes like 12, 12, 12, 12. National League wins 12 in a row. American League wins 12 in a row. That's just kind of how it goes. It's really strange. So chances are the American League will win tomorrow. But again, who knows? We'll see. The National League has better pitching. That goes without saying. Scherzer is a much better pitcher than Sale. But they also have Verlander. So...
Right, and it comes down to whether or not in this All-Star game that good pitching will beat the good hitting or the good hitting will beat the good pitching.
Generally in the All-Star game, good hitting wins because the guy only pitches 2 innings or so.
At the most.
Barely gets his trousers off before he... But yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Arenado's dirty. Goldschmidt's dirty. Freeman's insane. Kemp has just been unconscious. So I'm going to, yeah, it's going to be great. Who else do we got? Who were the, because I don't have, well, I guess, okay, so how's the home run derby going this year? Because every year I feel like they have different rules, and I never even know what the hell's going on.
It's an interesting concept.
It's a bracket. It's a bracket
it
format,
is,
right?
It is a bracket format.
Yeah.
They're trying to condense it, trying to keep everyone's interest and not making it a four-hour drag-on phenomena. But, yeah.
What the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
Yeah, I mean, come on. If you're watching it, you're already interested in it. It's the home run derby. Like, what else do you want? Anyway.
Guys hitting home runs. They're going to be matched up in pairs. American League slugger and a National League slugger. And the winner of that pairing moves on to the next round.
No. It looks like it's National League on one side, American League on the other, and then in the final, it's like the World Series. It's like one National, one American. Yeah. Because it looks like right here, Harper and Freeman are first. And then Muncy Baez.
Okay, well then
for the National League. And oh wait, no, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know what's going on. No, there, it looks like they're. Huh? I'm confused.
Yeah. So.
I'm confused. I don't know what's going on. Don't worry about it. I'm looking at the wrong bracket or something. Because right, these are only National League batters. I don't see.
This is a derby. Derby is a single elimination tournament, in which the loser of each bracket is eliminated. Each player gets 4 minutes per round with 30 seconds of bonus time awarded for two home runs that equal or exceed 140 feet. The batter with the most home runs in each matchup advances the next round.
No, this is right. No. So there's... Okay, I'm sorry, but... There's only one American League batter this year? Is that right? That's right. It's Bregman. No Stanton, no Judge.
No, they bowed out. After Stanton, his home runs died off in the last of July and the beginning of August last year, may have kept him from hitting 60 last year.
You're a goddamn disgrace.
Come on, one guy in the American League. The American League is supposed to be a bunch of bashers, a bunch of mashers. What about Judge?
Well, I don't understand how a home run derby would change your swing. If you have a swing that you use, you put a good swing.
I'm not gonna
should
lie.
Be a consistent.
It
should be batting practice.
Well, it should be. If your name is Cespedes or Griffey, yeah. Honestly, I think Cespedes and Griffey are the best guys that have ever done it because they seem to just kill it and then are fine after that. But it does seem like. It's not a good award. Like usually guys do it. And then like Judge last year, Judge sucked the second half. I mean, he wasn't like awful, but he was not the same.
Yeah, the
judge.
Numbers definitely
yeah.
fell off.
Oh yeah. And that could have just been, he's a rookie and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know.
Maybe it's just the psychology of trying to hit a home run rather than just putting a good swing on the ball and using your natural hit ability to hit a home run.
So it's a mental thing then maybe. Yeah, because I'm still upset that year Cespedes won 2 years in a row. The only other person to do that is Griffey. And then he wasn't even invited the next year. Oh, that was dumb. That didn't even make sense. I haven't watched it since then. But
you got the famous Yogi Berra quote, you know, 90% of the game is half mental. So yeah, it is a mental thing. No, it's a mentality.
90% of the game is mental. The other half is physical. That's what it is, right? Something like that. Sorry. So Harper, Freeman, Muncy, Baez, Aguilar, Hoskins, Bregman, Schwarber. One American League. That's slightly ignoble right there. But
Who
else should be in there? That's not. Cruz, for sure. Cruz should be in there. He has more home runs than anybody in the last seven years. Leading all of baseball. I don't know. Pujols, would it be fun to see Pujols up there again, you know?
I'd love to see Pujols back in.
Yeah,
why not?
He doesn't have to walk. He barely has to stand. He could probably just crank him out easily. I don't know.
It would be fun to have a bracket of Ohtani versus Ichiro.
I think Ohtani should be there also. I think that would be awesome. Ichi versus Ohtani, that'd be sweet. Now you brought up the old school home run derby that, and I like this idea. This idea sounds a lot better to me. Please,
right? This old school. I remember watching reruns, of course. this old black and white television show called Home Run Derby, which paired off two all stars, Hall of Famers at this point, the likes of Mays, Mantle, and some just amazing names, hitting home runs on television, nine rounds of three outs each.
Nine innings. Yeah.
Nine innings, three outs, and they switch off every three outs, and the winner was whoever ended up with more home runs at the end of the nine rounds.
Oh, okay, so they switch every three outs. So any ball put in play that's not a home run is an out.
Correct.
You can get as many pitches as you want, yes. But any ball put in play is an out. You get three, and then the next guy comes up, hits three. See, that's cool, because right now you get 10. Well, see, I don't even know now. The rules are probably different, but it used to be you get 10 outs, right, in the first round.
Right. Now it looks like it's as many as they can hit in 4 minutes.
Oh, see, yeah, that's weird.
And you get a time bonus if you hit two consecutive really far, 440 feet or more.
So if you hit two in a row that are over 440,
right? Jesus. Two home runs. I guess maybe it's not two in a row.
Or is it just a bonus?
Two home
for
runs
longest.
That equal or exceed 440 feet, they get a 30-second bonus on their 4-minute base times, where they can swing as many times as they want, get as many outs as they need.
Right.
It's
440 feet. That's about as far as those the Scherzer eyes out in, what is it, like right field. Have you seen those? Just Scherzer's eyes with like two K's in each eye, like one blue, one brown.
I have not. I'll have to look for it.
Check it out
today.
Yeah. Check it out. It's pretty weird. So, but I think that's about 440. So it's possible somebody can hit that and maybe win a free ophthalmology test.
I think last year, there were several players that hit
over 440.
Exceeded the 440 number twice.
Yeah, it was probably Judge and he's gone. Or Stanton. I don't know.
Guys can hit it a long way.
Again, I still think Cespedes is the best in this era, if you don't count Griffey as this era. But anyway, hey, what are you going to do? I don't know. But now guys are afraid. And I guess, honestly, if I have to admit it, I don't want to see Muncy there. I mean, I want to see Muncy there because I want to see him there. But he's young, man. I don't want to see his swing get affected that bad because he's just killing it right now. And Muncy didn't really hit a lot of home runs coming into this season. So it's whatever he's doing, just keep doing it. And
we'll see what happens.
I don't know. I mean, just think, like you were saying, just think of it like batting practice. You get to pick your pitcher. You know, it's usually like your high school coach or your dad or your brother or something, you know. Just have fun. We just have fun with it. So
put a good swing on the ball, hit it a long ways. Don't try to hit home runs. Hit home runs.
So there's it looks like the rankings next to each guy. It looks like Aguilar is ranked number one. That's pretty good. But yeah, I guess Harper's in there too. He's ranked number two. Anyway, I don't know. Home run derby, whatever. You'll all see it. Longest home run though was by Aguilar. I guess that's why he's number one. He's I'm sorry. Correct me on that. Harper hit it 4 cents. Anyway, all right. Let's move on. That's.
Are you?
Am I wrong in thinking that the All-Star break should only go until Friday? I mean, come on.
I remember it was just the All-Star break was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're back playing on Thursday.
Yeah. I know a lot of guys get Thursday off anyway. So Friday at the latest. Yeah. But yeah, let's bring it back
Thursday. Let's have a three-game series.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and let's keep going.
And then, we could get rid of all the complaints at the end of the season, the postseason. Oh, I don't want to see baseball in November. Honestly, I'd like to see baseball in December, January. I mean, that's a different story. But, yeah, let's get rid of that. There's so many ways to shorten the season without compromising the postseason. Anyway, right. I already went on a crazy rant about that. I'm not going to do it again. But how about actually, I am going to continue that because the easiest way to do it would be expansion. Good old-fashioned expansion, right? Add two more teams. Pick your city. I don't know, Montreal, San Jose, Portland, like you were saying before. That'd be great.
San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Right. And, well, Mexico maybe not, City. Maybe not Puerto Rico. Yeah. Yeah. Mexico City. But again,
well,
that,
Puerto
that'd
Rico earlier this year showed a lot of support for the major league teams coming down there and playing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But then, you know, hurricanes.
Well, you get snowstorms in Denver and New York and Chicago in April.
I guess.
So what's a hurricane gonna do but delay
destroy
a game?
The park, like literally destroy the park, not just like
was the stadium severely
every
damaged?
Every park in Puerto Rico was destroyed. In fact, the Puerto Rican national team, that's why their win in the Caribbean Cup was so big, because they didn't have a home field park. They literally just did not have a home field park. It was insane. They couldn't even play at home because it got destroyed, and they still beat Dominican, which is pretty cool. And then they all flew on the same plane. They invited them on the plane. We talked about this before, but it's that was a really cool win. Anyway, expand the teams to 32 teams. Okay, yeah, Vegas, Austin even. But no, I think Portland would be the best. That'd be great. Oregon could use it, and then that'd be like another closer stadium for me to go visit. But anyway, that would create four team divisions per league. You win the division, you go to the playoffs. Done. Easy. Perfect. No wild card, none of that crap, right? Then you win your division. Hey, you know. Yeah, it means a lot more. And it's going to balance it a little. I don't know. Anyway, that's in the future. We'll see. But
we'll see what happens, how the playoff races play out this year.
Yeah, we'll see. How about just touch on Trout a little bit, cuz he's just been ridiculous.
Mike Trout.
Yes.
Mickey Mantle incarnate.
Well, he's by all
he's pretty amazing
means better
he is
than,
pretty amazing
than the Mick. Sorry, New York fans, but Trout is on pace for 45 home runs, 24 steals.
Are you going
to
get a lot of angry letters this week from both Red Sox Nation and the Yankee fans?
He's on pace for an OPS 1100. He's also on pace to rack up almost 13 wins above replacement. That's a number reached by just one position player since 1900. That would be the great Bambino. I mean, come on. His numbers are insane.
That's ridiculous.
His numbers are insane.
He is such a good player.
Trout, why couldn't you have these numbers last year when I had you on my damn fantasy team, you asshole? You were sidelined for 7 weeks? Cost me the championship. How dare you? Huevos, I know you're listening, and you know why you won. Okay, second place. Luckily, though, this year I don't really have to worry. But, so another guy, though, that doesn't really get much attention, and he probably should, would be Edwin Diaz. Edwin Diaz could save 60 games this year.
That's incredible.
No one has ever saved 40 games before the All-Star break. He has 36. Unless did he get one yesterday?
I did not see.
I don't think they did. But he has 36. That's pretty damn good. He's on pace to save 62. There's only one reliever who has ever saved that many. That was K-Rod, Francisco Rodriguez, with 62 in 2008.
Yeah, anyway. It's you have to have the execution, but you also have to have the opportunities. Your team has to be
in the
league.
Are good. Yeah. I mean, they're not incredible. But it does seem like this year the Mariners are winning one-run game. They're just – all their games are one-run games. So it
well,
seems
sure,
– it's good for him.
58 and 39, and their run differential is – oh, it's not showing right here.
That's well, the league is hitting a ridiculous 130 against him in safe situations with two extra base hits.
Their run differential is positive, but it's positive in single digits. So.
Really? Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So they have a great record.
Yeah.
They're winning by very small amounts. They're losing by very small amounts.
It's a recipe for a historic season.
Yeah.
He leads all AL closers in whip and strikeouts.
If it's sustainable.
Well,
it's sustainable.
It's been sustainable for the last couple seasons. I mean, he's been great. And unfortunately, the guy
I'm
in first
not, I'm
place
not talking
in the
about
hasn't,
his ability
kids.
To close God game is sustainable, but the abilities
of
the
Mariners
as
a team
as
barely
a
win every game.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
as certainly at such a pace, and they've got Oakland on their heels, 55 and 42 at the break.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. They are going to get Cano back, We talked about this before. Are they going to even play Cano in August or September?
I don't know.
They're winning.
They started to play really well once he went on suspension.
Right. Now, I believe you said that the White Sox are not the worst team in baseball.
No, it is.
Because I thought that the Orioles were, but the Orioles are still on pace to lose 116 games. The Royals are on pace to lose 114. The Orioles just went over 5 weeks without winning a single game against a team from their own league. They were 0-17. Incomprehensible 0-15 in the month of June. That's insane. And you're telling me that the White Sox are
no, it's
worse?
Not the White Sox that are the worst team.
Royals?
It was the Royals. The Royals beat the White Sox to get their winning percentage to 284, which puts the Baltimore Orioles at the bottom of the heap.
Right. That makes more sense.
Yeah, the White Sox were the team that the Royals beat in order not to be the worst team in the league this year.
The Royals lost 18 games in a row. 18 games in a row when they did not throw a shutout. Can you believe that? No team had done anything like that in 111 years. So are we seeing a real-life Major League, the movie scenario here, where all these three teams are racing to be the worst so that they can get the top draft pick? Is that what's happening here? I mean, I know we're only like halfway through, but
I don't know. I don't know if we're there yet, but it's certainly it's certainly possible that that could happen. Ask me that again in September, and we'll have we'll have more of an idea.
That seems pretty bad.
We'll know a lot in the next 2 weeks as the trade deadline comes closer. We'll keeping an eye on those waiver wires to see what kind of moves are happening. Who's selling, who's buying. Now the A's going to pick up a pitcher or a hitter to try to close
alive.
In more on the Mariners.
See, that's tough because you know, Billy Beane has historically been good when the team has a chance. When they don't, he's historically evil. I mean, not
well,
evil,
it's,
but you know,
it's,
he just
not,
gets rid of everybody.
It's not really
That's
even
what the A's are
Billy
famous
Bean.
For.
It's not really even Billy well, Beane, though. It's his owner who is telling him, "I don't want to spend this money."
Sort of, yeah. But
dump the payroll.
He's pretty persuasive, and he usually does good by the team when they have a chance. They have a chance, but like we were talking about earlier, even if they do beat the Mariners, they're still gonna have to go against that one game against the Yankees or the Red Sox, and. Are you really going to spend all that or lose all those prospects just for that one game, which is pretty much what you're shooting for? And I guess if I had it my way, then they'd have to win twice against them. So, but I don't know. I don't know. I hope so, but I mean, it'd be good for Oakland. That city could really use a win, even though they just beat the Giants 2 out of 3 in SF, which that's, you know. Makes me pretty happy, especially since they came out blazing the first game and then they lost. But all right, how about a little bizarre but true, a little strange but true here? All right, when the Reds fell behind the Indians 17-0, all right, last Wednesday night, it was only the third time in live ball era, now you know 99 seasons, that an NL team had found itself trailing by at least 17 runs after only 4 innings. But it gets crazier. All three of those times, the team that found itself 17 behind was the Reds. All three times. And 34 against the Phillies and 52 against the Dodgers. And last Wednesday against the Indians. But it gets even crazier when you consider that on that very same night, the Diamondbacks fell 17 runs behind the Rockies. 18-1 eventually. After 4 innings. Which means that this happened twice in 98 seasons. And then twice in 2 hours.
That is pretty good oddity.
This year has been.
I'm sure that the Reds are glad that they are not.
Is that another ignoble award? I guess
no longer alone in that category, I suppose.
And did you see that game the Rockies D-backs game when Dirty Dan Descalzo? I always say Dirty Dan Discalis because when he was on St. Louis, that's what the announcer called him, which actually made me like thinking like, Jesus, how did he get that name, Dirty Dan Discalis? He's like at a donkey show in Tijuana or something. Well, I don't know. Anyway, but he came in the game in the fourth inning. I mean, this is insane. And, this ties into our last week's trivia question, which we will get to in just a second. But I felt like it was important to sort of touch on this, right? That because we were just talking about this, about Chris Jimenez coming in, and that was his 10th appearance. But we had seen it a couple times this year where position players that came in to pitch. But then just in between last episode and this episode, there's been like five position players.
Really amazing.
Or six even, I think, that have came in. In the fourth inning, Dirty Dan and Alex Avila went to the mound and ate up 14 outs in a real game. It's crazy. And that's the same night that the Reds, Alex Blandino, had that scoreless two-strikeout inning against a team that had scored 19 runs against them, against their actual pitchers. And you saw that Blandino, that knuckler he was throwing. That was nuts. Now, he was hitting 90 on the gun. He was looking like a pitcher, honestly. And then he had that no rotation knuckleball. If you have a chance, go check out that clip. It's pretty, it's beautiful.
It is.
Getting a strikeout on a 58 mile an hour knuckleballer with no spin, and then getting a strikeout on a 90 mile an hour fastball. This guy's going to have a bright future. Daniel Descalso, maybe not so much. Gave up a few home runs. But, his actual pitching staff had just got 10 outs, had only got 10 outs. He was only the third true position player in the last 60 years to show up on the mound as early as the fourth inning. Now, I did have to look this up. Sal Bando for the Brewers on August 29th, 1979, pitched the fourth, fifth, and sixth. And Rocky Colavito for the Yankees in 68 got 8 outs, fourth, fifth, and sixth. And was awarded a win, which is pretty cool. But yeah, Descalso and Avila, that's pretty crazy. They finished that game from the fourth inning on. It's pretty insane. They become only the third game in the last 100 years in which two true position players got at least 6 outs apiece. Ty Cobb pitched, though, and that was another one. 1918, Ty Cobb and Bobby Veach went out for 2 innings, and they won the game. Anyway.
Well, why not?
But yeah, Descalso was not looking like Blandino. He was hitting like 83 on the gun, but mainly was living in the 55 to 65
just there
range.
To save the bullpen a little bit.
Yeah.
Just one last bit of oddity and strange statistical anomalies. Earlier you mentioned that the Yankees are on a historic pace for hitting home runs.
Right.
Turns out that the Kansas City Royals are also on a historic pace concerning home runs.
Uh-oh, concerning home runs. That can't be good.
Yes, the Royals are on pace to become the first team since 1878.
Goo.
The Boston Red Caps to give up more home runs than they hit throughout the entire season. Now, in 1878, they didn't play a lot of games. They didn't have a lot of teams playing either. But in 1878, the Boston team hit 2 home runs and they gave up 6. Right now, well, as of about a week ago anyway, the Royals had hit 70 home runs, the fewest in the major leagues, and have given up 125. So this is definitely possible, especially at 27 and 68 at the break.
Oh, it's very possible. Very possible.
So something to watch.
That was pretty good. One last thing with Ramirez's home run off Sabathia, Jose Ramirez, on Saturday, and Francisco Lindor, they became the first pair of teammates under 25 and under in MLB history with 25 or more home runs each before the All-Star break. That's pretty cool.
That is.
And they'll both be playing on the same team. That's pretty good. Anyway, last week's trivia question. Last Saturday, I guess that was 2 ago, Joe Maddon brought in Chris Jimenez to finish off the game, an 11-2 loss in Cincinnati. And this was Chris Jimenez's 10th appearance as a big leaguer. Now,
on the mound.
On the mound as a true position player. How many position players in history have ever pitched 10 times in the big leagues, excluding any position player who has pitched in at least 10 games in a season? Now, there are now two with Chris Jimenez. The other one, now let's see. Valerie in L.A. says Cap Anson. Ooh, that's good. That's digging deep.
That is.
That's actually good. I had to look this up. He did pitch a few times. But only 4 innings, though, in 3 games. So, not bad. Not bad. No, sorry, Valerie. Not the right answer. From Charles in Charleston? I don't know if that's true. Drew Butera. That's actually not bad either, because he has just been pitching kind of recently the last couple of years. I think he did pitch in 6 games, but not 10. That would have been, he is a true position player also. There's a lot of other guys out there that have pitched in over 10 in a season. We're not talking about that. Just 10 times in the big leagues, excluding 10 games in any season. Now, the answer, do you have a guess for me? It's kind of surprising, honestly.
You know, I do not have a guess. I honestly, I have no clue. My intuition would say that it's probably an old-timer. It's probably...
You are right.
A Hall of Famer.
You are right.
I don't know if I could really even wager a guess.
I'll give you a big hit. His 534 home runs.
Oh my God.
Are the most of anyone in history who A, pitched, and B, wasn't named Babe Ruth. That would be the late great Jimmy Fox.
Jimmy Fox. Wow.
Jimmy Fox, who I believe Jimmy Dugan was based after, which was Tom Hanks' character in A League of Their Own, right?
Yeah.
Sort of this, you know, because that's kind of what he did. He was an amazing player, amazing hitter, and then he sort of got, you know, he went to the bottle. I mean, hey, he had a great season. He coached for a little while, then couldn't get a job coaching, and then World War II hit, and hey, you wanna coach these broads over? Anyway, send your emails to spaul@gmail. No. Baseball, West Coast bias. Okay, now you have a trivia question for this week, I do believe.
Trivia question, yeah, for this week. Last week we saw player hit 10 RBIs in a single game.
10 RBIs. Oh, that was Mark Reynolds.
Mark Reynolds.
Who also pitched, by the way. Who also pitched.
So it brought up the question, what is the single game record for RBIs since, well, the expansion era, 1961?
Single season record?
Yes, bonus on who
for
actually
RBIs.
Hit
Mark
it.
Reynolds just hit 10.
Mark Reynolds just hit 10.
Damn, I thought it was
that,
10.
That is not the record.
That's not the record.
Someone has hit more.
Because I remember last year, what's his name, for the Nationals, third baseman.
Mark Reynolds. No.
What's his name? Anthony Rendon.
Rendon. Yes.
Had and 10 last season.
It's an R. Yeah, see, but
wow.
Again.
Wow.
So there's been a few players who have hit 10, but that is not the record. What is the single game record for most RBIs?
What is the single game record for most RBIs in a 9-inning game? A single game?
In a single game.
Just in a game. All right.
In a game.
Chances are you're not going to hit even remotely close to 10, so that's pretty good. All right, that's a good question, actually. I mean, I have a couple of guesses, but I don't really have a clue. Like, it's all right, that's pretty good. Yeah. I know Don Mattingly, to come back, had 5 grand slams in one season. That's a pretty cool.
Right, that's one season.
Pretty cool, right.
If it was one game,
well,
that would be the
record.
I know.
So I'm thinking it's somebody probably not like the greatest player of all time, but it's probably somebody who was consistently good. Anyway, email us with your answer to baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Leave the answer in our comments section on iTunes or the Podomatic website or Facebook, right?
Yes.
Facebook? Yeah. Okay, there we go.
We'll accept answers there. Any of those places.
So I think that's it. You know, and it's going to be a pretty easy week. There's not going to be a lot of baseball, so watch the All-Star game, I guess. You know, you're not going to be doing anything else. And, you know.
Focus on the details.
What else is there?
Well, because baseball is life, the rest is just details.
Go watch some baseball. And, you know what? Have some beer. Have a hot dog. No winners, no chicken dinners this week. But next week, we will be back. And... sorry, that was it.
That's it. We're done.
That's all, folks.
Have a great week.